Michelle Bentham of Michelle Bentham Creates and the Michelle Bentham Creates podcast on the air with you today. It's Friday, and we're going to wrap up this week by beginning chapter 15 in the book of Matthew. We've been journeying through the Gospels. That's a hashtag, journey through the Gospels, if you're on social media. And we have just wrapped up the halfway point of our reading in the book of Matthew. And so we've watched John the Baptist be beheaded and Jesus grieve over that, but also have compassion on people and perform miracles like the feeding of 5,000, and then calling Peter out of the boat and walking on water. And then at the end of the chapter, he amazes everyone when he goes through the region of Gennesaret and begins to heal the sick and the wounded, so much so that people are just, they're coming and he's allowing them to touch the hem of his robe and they're being healed. And I love that you don't have to have a formula to be healed. And on Wednesday, I read just the first verse of chapter 15, and I said, this is where we're going to start. So all of this victory, and then here come the lawgivers. The Pharisees and scribes came from Jerusalem to ask Jesus a question. And before I go on, I just want to say, if you have not read chapter 15 for yourself, I would really love for you to read it for yourself before you listen to my insights that I received while I was reading. So I want to encourage you to go ahead and push pause right now on the podcast and read chapter 15 for yourself. Take some notes in a journal or on the pages of scripture themselves. That's how I do it. And then you can hop back on the podcast and finish up. So, Lord, we just come before you and we thank you that you're good. We thank you that you keep your promises and that you give us scripture so that our faith in things hoped for but things not seen also bear witness with the evidence of scripture. And so, Lord, I pray that our faith would see and our ears would hear and our heart would know without a doubt who you are and what it is you want to do today. So in verse 2, it's the scribes and the Pharisees and they're talking to Jesus. I just can't picture how this works. They have followed him across the lake to question him. Traveled from Jerusalem to the Sea of Galilee to ask questions, to trap him, and to call him, in effect, a heretic. It's a lot of trouble for one man, don't you think? It says, the law of Moses has always held that one must ritually wash his hands before eating. Why don't your disciples observe this tradition? And Jesus turned to the Pharisees and turn their question back on them. He said, why do you violate God's command because of your tradition? God said, honor your father and mother. Anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. But you see that one need no longer honor his parents, so long as he says to them, what you might have gained from me, I now give to the glory of God. Haven't you let your tradition trump the word of God? You hypocrites. Isaiah must have had you in mind when he prophesied, people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are nowhere near me, because they elevate mere human ritual to the status of law. Their worship of me is a meaningless sham. Think about this. So the scribes and Pharisees are in effect quoting the law to him when they don't in effect observe the principle of the law from their heart. It just reminds me that we can always take scripture to that nth degree, if you will. We can take it from the grace-filled fulfillment of Jesus Christ to the Old Testament sin-aware, prove we need God law. We can use scripture to back a bad position. We can alter scripture to back a bad position. See, that's what Jesus says to the scribes and Pharisees right here. You've taken and twisted the meaning of what God said. Man's tradition should never ever trump what we can read for ourselves in Scripture. And if you read something in Scripture and it's resonating with you differently than how you were taught about it, explore that with God. I'm not saying throw all of your doctrine away. I believe there are good foundational doctrines that we all need to agree on. Doctrines about salvation and who God is and the Trinity and creation and Adam and Eve and original sin. There's a lot of things we need to agree on. But there are some things that have become traditions that I'm not sure always agree with Scripture. And I think we have to be wise and discerning about those things. And I'm not saying anybody's doing it wrong. I've come a long way from believing that my opinion of anything is ever right. But I also know that we can do a lot of damage when we take Scripture out of context and we use it in a way that is hurtful to other people. People honor me with their lips, but their hearts are nowhere near me. See, it's the motivation of our heart. So when you're questioning doctrine, when you're calling the leaders of your church Pharisees, when you're judging other people, what's the motivation of your heart in that? Because when you're practicing those things, it says you make your worship of God a meaningless sham. In verse 10, it says he turns to the multitude. He's no longer talking to the Pharisees, but to everyone in his presence. Hear and understand this. What you put into your mouth cannot make you clean or unclean. It is what comes out of your mouth that can make you unclean. So once again, here's Jesus turning culture upside down. See, they've lived ever since the law was given based on this idea that we can't eat pigs, that what we put in our mouth will make us unclean, that if we eat and our hands are dirty, we'll be unclean. If anything comes out of our body, it's unclean. And here's what Jesus is saying. It's what comes out of your mouth, what you say. He's not having a visual vomit moment here. He is saying, whatever words come out of your mouth, this is what makes you unclean. So later, the disciples come to him and they said, do you realize the Pharisees were shocked by what you said? And Jesus says, every plant planted by someone other than my heavenly Father will be plucked up by the roots. So let them be. They are blind guides. What happens when one blind person leads another? Both of them fall into a ditch. See, this is why it's important to know what we believe and to know the God who we profess in a personal, intimate, experiential kind of way. Because otherwise, when it's just knowledge, and knowledge is not a bad thing by itself, but when it's just knowledge without a heart connection and an experience of Him, we become like the blind guides who are trying to lead the blind. And they both fall into the ditch and they can perish there. Peter says, explain the riddle to us. And Jesus says, do you not see? Do you not understand that whatever you take in through your mouth makes its way to your stomach and eventually out of the bowels of your body? It's so funny. Because the last week I was at the church and I share an office with my direct oversight, and his wife and son came into the office and they had been to the zoo. Well, apparently they had been learning some things about the digestive system, and his little boy, who's 4 or 5 years old, he starts sharing some of what he's learning. And he's like, did you know that your poop is food? And I know that's kind of coarse language, but that's what he said. And his mother laughed and was kind of like, let's not talk about that right now. But it was very, very interesting, because here's what it says. Do you understand that whatever you take in through your mouth makes its way to your stomach and eventually out of the bowels of your body? But the things that come out of your mouth, your curses, your fears, your denunciations, these things come from your heart, and it is the stirring of your heart that can make you unclean. For your heart harbors evil thoughts, fantasies of murder, adultery, and whoring. Fantasies of stealing, lying, and slandering. These make you unclean. Not eating with a hand you've not ritually purified with a splash of water and a prayer. So Jesus left that place and withdrew to Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman, a non-Jew, came to him. I want to think about this for a little bit. So he's about to encounter this Canaanite woman, this passage, you know, sometimes it kind of shakes me a little bit. But as I'm reading this, he's saying that your heart is the most important part. And, you know, Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. In Galatians 5, tells us about all of these things, the evil thoughts, the fantasies of murder, adultery, and whoring, stealing, lying, and slandering. And he's saying that there's no ritual washing that will clean you of that unless you deal with what's going on in your heart. Do you get that? Do you get that you can go to church and be baptized, but if you never deal with what's going on in your heart, it's not really clean? Your sins can be forgiven. You can be redeemed and saved and headed to heaven and never deal with the issues of your heart and still be unclean. So then in 22, he encounters the Canaanite woman. And she's crying. She says, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is possessed by a demon. Have mercy, Lord. But Jesus said nothing, and the woman continued to wail, and his disciples came to him. Do something. She keeps crying after us, they say. And Jesus says, I was sent here only to gather up the lost sheep of Israel. Why do you think he said that? That's what I want to know. Why did he say that? Who knows? I have that question written in my Bible, and hopefully someday God will give me an answer about it. If not here, I know I'll get it when I come face to face with him. Amen. The woman came up to Jesus and knelt down before him. She positioned herself in an attitude of worship, in an attitude of faith. She took a risk. This is unacceptable behavior for a Jew and a Canaanite woman to fraternize together. She submitted herself to God and cried out to him and said, Lord, help me. And here's what Jesus says to her, and it's confounding in my mind. It is not right to waste the children's bread by feeding dogs. So he's now refused to hear her cry. He has not responded to her pleas. She has positioned herself into submission to him. And in an attitude of worship, she continues to cry out, Lord, help me. And his response is some riddle about not wasting the children's bread feeding dogs. Jesus. Oh. But her response catches my breath in my throat. But Lord, even dogs eat the crumbs that fall by the table as their master is eating. You see, the Canaanite woman was a foreign woman. She was a Gentile. And the next verse gives us a clue into what's going on. Jesus, whose ancestors include Ruth and Rahab, spoke with kindness and insight at this point. He said, "Woman, you have great faith, and your request is done." And her daughter was healed right then and from then on. You see, Jesus left and went to the Sea of Galilee. He went up on a mountaintop and sat down. And the crowds thronged to him there, bringing the lame, the maimed, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many other sick and broken people. They just unloaded the hospital and dropped it off on the side of the mountain. They laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people saw the mute speaking and the lame walking, the maimed made whole, the crippled dancing and the blind seeing, and the people were amazed, and they praised the God of Israel. Then Jesus, to his disciples, says, "We must take pity on these people, for they have touched my heart." He is moved by compassion once again. "They have been with me for 3 days, and they don't have any food. I don't want to send them home this hungry. They might collapse on the way." Do you hear this? He's concerned for their safety and their well-being, not just the things that afflict them. The disciples say, "Well, we'll never find enough food for all these people out here in the middle of nowhere." Again, they're focused on the circumstance. We're just one chapter back where he fed the 5,000. And now they're up on the mountain. He says the same thing to them again. And I kind of picture him smiling gently and shaking his head a little and not disapproving, but, you know, thinking, "My goodness, are they ever going to get it? We'll never find enough food for all these people out here in the middle of nowhere." See, they're focused on their circumstances. How is it that after feeding the 5,000 in chapter 14, they would be so easily defeated in this moment? Here's what Jesus said: "How much bread do you have?" Wonder if they had any left over from the last feeding. The disciples said, 7 rounds of flatbread and a few small fish." More than what was brought to him in the feeding of the 5,000. So he tells the crowd to sit down, and he took the bread and the fish and he gave thanks. Here it is again. He gave thanks and he broke the bread and he divided the fish. And he gave the bread and the fish to the disciples, and the disciples distributed them to the people, and everyone ate and was satisfied. When everyone had eaten, the disciples picked up 7 baskets of crust and broken pieces and crumbs. There were 4,000 men, and there not to mention all the women and children. Then Jesus sent the crowd away and he got into the boat and went to Magadan. So here we are with Jesus feeding 4,000 men and women and children. And the bread and the fish are what was provided. And here he is again. They brought to him what they had, even though it didn't seem like it was enough. He gave thanks for it. He broke it. He divided it out and sent it out. And it produced more than enough to satisfy everyone that was there. We can't miss this. He does it twice in 2 consecutive chapters. He wants us to know that he's our provider and we have to trust him for that. Only when everyone had eaten and was satisfied did Jesus send them away. In chapter 14, there were 12 baskets of leftovers. In chapter 7, chapter 15, there were 7 baskets of leftovers. These are 2 numbers that represent completion in 2 totally different areas. 7 is a complete number, a season, if you will. It's the season of creation back in Genesis chapter 1. And the number 12 is a number of completion in family and generations and nations. It's people. So here you have people and season or circumstance, and there is a completion element to it in the provision that that God made through his son Jesus. So here we see Jesus contending with the Pharisees again. Here we see him working two very specific miracles. You see, this is not the first time that somebody has come to Jesus and asked him to do something out of order. The Canaanite woman has done it, and his mother did it. And we'll see that when he's at the wedding in Cana. And so I just want to conclude here, and I would love for you to DM me, shoot me an email, Michelle@michellebenthamcreates.com, or you can send me a direct message on Facebook or Twitter. Twitter's a little more challenging because it's 140 characters or less. But I'd love to hear what God is teaching you through our journey through the Gospels. I'd love to hear what he's saying to you as you read through the Scriptures. So please feel free to find my posts, my podcast post on Facebook, Twitter, and so on, and share with me what you're hearing from the Lord. So today, God, we pray and we believe still and again that you are the God of miracles, that you take care of your children, that you provide for them, even the ones that are grafted in and were not originally from the line of Adam, that you are our provision completely and fully. You are everything we need. We just thank you and praise you, God, for everything you're doing right now in this season. And we just ask that you pour out your blessing and your favor on everyone within the sound of my voice today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's it for today. We will be reading Matthew chapter 16 on Monday. I'm so excited to get started on that. We are just 12 chapters from the end of the book of Matthew, and I feel really confident we'll finish this out by the end of the year, and we'll start 2017 fresh in the book of Mark. And so keep reading, keep writing notes in your journal, and allowing God to speak to your heart as you read the Scriptures, and know that I'm praying for you even now. Our music today is provided by bensound.com. The selection is Tenderness. And please remember that everything shared in these podcasts is copyright Michelle Bentham Creates 2016. All rights reserved. Reach out, talk back to me. Let me know that you're listening. And by all means, share this podcast. Like me on Facebook, like me on Twitter. Help me get the word out about what I'm doing. I don't want you to follow me because I'm worried about the numbers. I want you to help me share what God is doing through this ministry online. And I just pray that you're just totally blessed by that, and that people will begin to come to know God in a deeper and more meaningful way through our influence. And thank you so much for partnering with me, for being a part of what I'm doing here at Michelle Bentham Creates, and be blessed.